Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning. Boy, I appreciate these guys. Get them used to Christian service when they're young. And maybe they'll carry it through all the rest of their life. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Talking about the seven spirits of God and how they are and will be manifested in your life if you are saved and you have been sealed by the Holy Ghost, if God has given you that earnest of the purchased possession until the day of redemption. That's how Paul talked about it in Ephesians. If God has done that for you, then these things that I'm showing you, they will be manifested in your life. These are gifts. God gives gifts to men. He gives us good things from His Word and from His Spirit. And He gives them away freely. And I know we labor in the Lord. I know we strive. I know we do things like that. But it's almost like we live in a world now where we're hearing coming out of the church that God, it's almost like God helps those who help themselves. And there are people, I know we can do a lot of things, but there are people in this world, probably most of us sitting here today, there are areas of life that we cannot help ourselves in. We have a desire to, we just don't have the ability to do it. And God is the one who comes in that place. We were talking about this in Sunday school. Here's Paul talking about the thorn that he had in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. It is normal for God's people to suffer and to struggle and to go through things. We can't do anything about it ourselves. And Paul realized that. And so he's asking God, God, take this thorn away. For three times he asked God, take it out of my flesh. I mean it. And God said, I'm going to leave it there and I'm going to give you grace. Because when you're weak, I am strong. That's what this is all about. If you find yourself struggling with maybe that spirit of the Lord we talked about, or the spirit of wisdom, or the spirit of understanding, if you find yourself struggling in these areas and you find yourself not very wise and not very understanding, God is the one who steps in. That's His Holy Spirit's job is to come in and to give us those things. So as I'm preaching these things, I'm not really trying to beat everybody over the head with how come you're not displaying this or how come you're not displaying that. I don't like to do that. What I like to do is just tell you, here's what the Bible says. God in His time and in His way will manifest these things through you. And this is what we learn. When you have Jesus, you have these things. Think of in Revelation 5, Jesus is depicted as the Lamb, and He has seven horns on His head. That sounds kind of funny to us, but that's what He had on His head. And what do those seven horns represent? The seven spirits of God. Then we have Samson, who had seven locks of hair on his head. And I think they were figurative of those horns of the Lamb's head. He had that Spirit of God in him, and surely we see Samson with power and with might. But let's look at what the Bible says this morning in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, that's a capital B in your King James Bible, that's Christ, shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I want you to pray for me that I can teach this the right way, that it'll be a blessing to you, and you learn something, and maybe you'll get help from heaven, all right? Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you, dear God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for helping me to understand some things, Lord, out of this book. It's been a blessing for my life. It's been necessary, Lord, for me to even just keep on living. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would bless other people likewise. God, there was a man, you know who he is, that emailed me this morning, and he shared his heart, and he's in real distress this morning, and I'm praying, dear God, that you would bless him. God, that you would speak to him. God, that you'd give him grace. Lord God, that you would bless his family. And Lord, just help him, Lord, in every area of life. He mentioned several things, Lord, that it just seems like everything has come crashing in on him. And Lord, there may be somebody in this room today or somebody listening today that also fits that description. They just feel like everything's crashing down on them. They don't know what to do. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you would do a good thing in his life and many others, dear God. Lord, as they call out and cry out unto you, God, Lord, that you'd bless them. But Father, Lord, in your own time and in your own way, we understand that. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that if any has to wait for your blessing, God, that you would give them a manifest token of your goodness and that you've heard their prayer and that you're going to do far above what they were able to ask or to think. But Father, Lord, just bless people that are hurting. Bless people, dear God, that are struggling. Bless people, dear God, Lord, that don't really have any other place to turn except you. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would give them a good, sweet spirit inside of them. Give them a spirit of peace today. Bless your word today. I love you and I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. I want to show you something from the Word of God. I'll put it up on screen, but I want you to see this in your Bible. And I want you to underline this passage here in your Bible. And when you do that, what happens later on, you might be thumbing through the Bible, and you might be needing something, and all of a sudden you've highlighted a certain verse. And a lot of times the Holy Ghost has had me, Mike, stop right here. Look at this. Look at this verse. Okay? This is one of those ones I'd like for you to consider. We're talking about the seven spirits of God. We talked about the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of Wisdom. That's the second one. Understanding is the third one. And now we have the Spirit of Counsel. And I'm going to show you from the Bible. And I looked up this word. I like to look up English words just so that I know what the Bible's talking about. I look them up. There's an online dictionary called Etymology Online. Etymology is the source of where our words come from. Every word that you and I speak, they had a birth somewhere. A lot of it is not even English. We've just mingled all these different words into our vocabulary over hundreds of years. There's a little bit of French in how we talk. There's a little bit of Latin. There's a little bit of Greek. There's a little bit of everything else mingled into our language. So I looked up this word counsel and just kind of got the idea, kind of got the gist of it. Counsel pertains to thoughts, thinking, and how decisions are made. And I want you to think about the decisions that you make. I want you to think about the decision that you're making today about whether or not you're going to serve Christ or not. Okay, who did I say that to? I said that to people who haven't decided. Well, in a way, you have decided. You're not going to serve the Lord. And I don't know who's listening. I don't know who's sitting here. But I guarantee you, somebody has already decided in their mind that they're not going to live for the Lord. They're not going to turn their life over to God. They want to go to heaven like everybody else does. They just don't want to do it God's way. At some point, they made a decision to follow this path. The spirit of counsel, or a spirit of counsel, is what helps them make that decision. Let me give you just some illustrations out of the Bible. I believe in biblical authority. I believe God has realms of authority in every area of life. I believe that the husband, the man who is the house band, that's what that word husband means. He is the house band. He is the one that's going to hold everything together. I believe the husband should be the head of the wife and the head of the family. Can I hear you say amen? And I'm not having you vote on whether it's right or not by you saying amen. It's right. Whether you vote on it or not, it's right. Amen. I believe that God ordains bishops as being in authority over churches as far as what's preached out of that church is concerned. But even I and other bishops are under the authority of the Scriptures. I believe the captain is in charge of a boat. Make sense? I believe the captain's in charge of a boat. I believe the president is in charge of a nation, or a prime minister, or a king. I believe those are heads of nations, and the Bible plainly says that God ordains them to be such. Even bad ones. Even bad ones. If you don't like the last five presidents that we've had in this nation, It's not really the Democrats' fault or the Republicans' fault. It's America's fault. Amen. I don't know that we really as a nation deserve somebody that's really good to be our president right now. I think America needs revival first. Okay? But I believe that God puts them in authority over it, and so I believe that. But watch this now. You'll see this if you look at it all through the Bible. The one, usually, who is in charge, who has the authority, very seldom is he ever alone in making the decisions. Let me give you an example of that. Brother Mike Hutzel came here years ago and preached this, and my jaw just fell. I've never heard anything like this in my life. That man studies and he prays over the scriptures. He has the ability to preach an entire book in one message. I'm lucky if I get out of one verse in 3 months. Okay? But this is what he does. He came down here and preached a revival, and he preached on the book of Esther. And he showed us all the types and the pictures of that. But here is, in the book of Esther, you have, who is the king? King Ahasuerus. He is the one who has total authority over everything. If he claps his hands and he says, I want that man dead, that man's dead. If he snaps his fingers and he says, I want people to come to me, they come to him. Whatever he says and whatever rules he makes, that's it. And he seals it with the law of the Medes and Persians. That not even he can change it. Well, here comes Haman. Haman's a picture of the devil. The devil doesn't like you. Doesn't like God. Doesn't like God's people. So Haman goes to King Ahasuerus, and Haman gives wicked counsel to the king saying, you need to kill all the Jews. They're bad. And King Ahasuerus, you go home and read this. He took his ring, which was his, had his signet on it, had his seal on it, his authority. He took his ring off and he gave it to Haman. And he said, Haman, you do what pleases you. He put Haman, he gave his authority over to Haman, one of his counselors. If you follow that ring all through the book of Esther, I wish I could preach it like, I need to have Mike come down here and preach it again to us. Boy, it'd be a blessing. I'd like to get it on video is what I'd like to get. After a while, when Esther comes to talk to King Ahasuerus, he finds out, I gotta put my ring on and my wife would be mad. He finds out that Haman was lying to him and that Esther was in line to be killed because of the law. And he took the ring and he gave it to Mordecai. Mordecai is a picture of Christ. He comes riding in on a white horse. Now he's given it. But King Ahasuerus' decisions were made based upon his counsel. You see that all through the scriptures. Men, God gave us a brain, but he left some things out of it. What he left out of your brain, he stuck it in your wife's brain. And brother, it's a mystery trying to get it out of there. Amen. Okay? And she ain't letting it loose until she's good and ready. The husband's in charge of that family. Men, you listen to this. Because I believe in biblical authority over a household. I believe the man is the authority in that house. And if you don't believe that, guys, that when the devil was trying to tear you apart, guess who his real target was? It was your wife and kids. I need to preach that again too. It was your wife and kids. He wasn't going after you. He was getting you out of the way to get your wife and kids. You were standing in his way. But watch this. This does not mean that the man is the dictator over the household and whatever he says is it. That does not mean that. Because God looked at the man and he said it's not good the man should be alone. He don't think right sometimes. So I'm going to give him a help that's sufficient for him. That's what the word meet means. I'm going to give him somebody that's going to help him. And I can look back, and I learned this years ago. The decision to leave the church I was pastoring at, the decision to even go there, God made me get my wife involved in that decision. And then the decision to leave there to come here back in 1994, God had laid it on her heart first, and then God laid it on my heart. And when we got together and started talking about it, we found out that God was there in that decision. And God has shown me that big things in that concern this church or this ministry or whatever, that I know that I'm going to go in God's direction, and I'm going to know that because He's going to lay it on her heart first. And then we're going to get together and we're going to talk about it. Now, I know with some churches that turns out bad, because there are some pastors' wives that are Jezebels. And you may have escaped out of that. Okay? So you know what you do as a church body? You pray for her. You pray for her. Lord, give pastor's wife wise counsel. Give her a spirit of counsel. Okay? Give her that. Now, I will say this. If she ever said, I think we'll start speaking in tongues in our church, I'd probably whop her with a King James Bible. God didn't make her like that, though. Here's what I'm saying. That verse, Proverbs 20:18, look at it. Every purpose is established by counsel. And with good advice, make war. The president of the United States, let me tell you, the last time this happened and God bless it. Last time this happened in this nation, God blessed it, was World War II. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, after Pearl Harbor was bombed, he didn't just say, we're going to get a coalition of forces from around the world. He didn't do that on his own like the presidents are doing right now, and it's not right. He went before Congress the next day, and he petitioned Congress to make a declaration of war against Japan. That's what that speech was. A day that will live in infamy. That's where that came from. He was following the Constitution. His advisors had told him, we need to respond. We need to respond quick. You need to have Congress declare war. And God blessed that in this nation because it followed right counsel. Okay? We've kind of gone downhill since then. Now, for some reason, all the presidents think they got power to do anything they want to, even if it's against the law. They think they can do that. And you know where they got that from? Wicked counselors. Bush did some things that I think were totally unconstitutional. You know why he did it? His counselors told him it was okay. We can bypass the Constitution if we want to. We can get around this. Obama comes out and says, I'm going to wave my magic wand over all the illegal immigrants that are in this nation who have not come in this nation legally. I'm going to wave my magic wand over them. They're going to be people. They're going to be citizens just like that. It's against the law for him to do that. Who told him to do it? His wicked counselors taught him how to do it. He's not making this decision on his own. And it's usually the people behind the scenes that you don't see making the speeches every day. That's what's going on. And so it applies to every realm of life. The decisions that you and I make nearly daily, most often, are being counseled to us to make us follow a certain direction. Now, I'm going to put some things up on the screen, and I'm probably going to be an irritant to somebody today. I don't know who it is. I love you. But I want you to understand that not every decision that you've made in your life was the right one. Do you know why? You had bad counselors. You let somebody influence you, your decision-making processes, and they've told you, this is how we want you to do it, or this is how you should do it, and you did it. So are you ready? Are you ready to be irritated? Look up there. Okay? The news organizations of this world, every one of them have an agenda. They're not just reporting the news. They are crafting the mindset of a generation. They will give you stories and news items, and the way they edit interviews and the way things are said by the person with the microphone out on the scene, the way they say those things are designed to get you to think in a way that's different than maybe what you used to think. I'll give you an example, okay, of how this works. Why do you think that in all of our public schools now across this country, if little Johnny and little Jimmy are out in the schoolyard and they're playing Cowboys and Indians, or they're playing Army Men, or they're playing Star Wars, or whatever it is, they go out there and they put their fingers like this. Why do you think the schools are taking such, I don't know what the word to use, they'll take that child, they'll throw them out of school for 3 days for doing this. Why do you think they're doing that? They have an agenda to implant it in the minds of a generation of children in America that guns are evil. Guns are bad. Guns, if we got rid of all the guns. You know the biggest hypocrite, Liam Neeson, who's made all these movies where he shot people, just walk in a room and just start killing people. He comes out and says, we have too many guns in this country. That's the problem. Stupid idiot. Amen. You see, these schools, there was a boy in the St. Louis area who had to use sign language. And he had to give his name in sign language. And I can't remember my sign language from years ago. But he had to make this character, or something like that, a G or something like that. He had to make this character in order to sign his name. And the school board said he cannot do that on school grounds. We have a zero tolerance policy. You know what they're trying to do is they're trying to make a generation of kids whose brains are still moldable right now. They're trying to counter them by teaching them guns are evil. When your grandfather and my grandfather had 14 boys in the house and there was a shotgun sitting by the front door and not one of them went to church and shot everybody in the church house. Not one of them. But we're trying to take this generation of children and counsel them to make a decision that says there's even a school district that is wanting their children to report to the school if they know that there's guns in their mom and dad's house. Legal guns. And kids are doing it. See how their decision... Their decision was not influenced by their mother and their father. Their decision was influenced by the public school. That's going on everywhere. The major news organizations all across the world are influencing people and getting them to make decisions based upon an agenda that they have. Here's another one. Have I irritated you yet? Facebook, now here's what you say, well that's, oh yeah, that's the Illuminati. They're in all the news organizations, okay? Facebook and YouTube are people that you know. Right? And they put stuff up on Facebook, or there's YouTube videos that are designed to teach you something that may or may not be true, but in some cases you believe it, whether it's true or not. And they influence you and counsel you to make decisions. Facebook especially has the thing with it where it's people like your peers, like people you would have as friends hanging around you, telling you, do this, or do this, or do this, or I did this. Doesn't matter if it's a cake recipe. Doesn't matter if it's any number of things that come up in life, or issues inside of a home or a marriage, where God says one thing, and you've got Facebook friends that say something that's contradictory to God's Word, and they influence you, and you make a decision based on that. You see where I'm going with this? Somebody counseled you, and you made a bad decision. Okay? It came from the counselors. Here we go. The Republican Party says it's got to be this way. Well, I'm a Republican. I'm going to do this. Democratic Party says, oh no, we're for this and we're for that. If you got to vote Democrat, you got to do this. Matthew was an apprentice carpenter in the Carpenters Union. For, I don't know, he wasn't in there but about 2 months. And all of a sudden, he got a card in the mail, a big pamphlet in the mail, saying, an election is coming up real quick. Here's a list of all the guys we're telling you to vote for. Every one of them was a Democrat, by the way. Every one of them. They'll tell you, they'll fill your mind with, see, here Barack Obama, he's for the working man. We're going to get good contracts because he's in the White House. Let me ask you a question. How's that turned out for everybody? This man's selling our nation out, right and left. He's breaking the law on immigration deal. He favors abortion. He favors sodomite weddings. But the unions told you to vote him in so you could have more money. Amen! Maybe you're not as irritated as I thought you'd be. I'm not... Listen, if you get a job... Mike, you got a job with the union? Man, I'm all for it. Okay? But the thing, I told him, son, I put my arm around him, son. And he told me, like the first week he was there, the foreman said, let's go. And they all went down to this place, and they had a big barbecue there, and they had free food. And Matthew's going, man, we got free food today. And Matthew's like me, I'm going, I'll work any place free food, man. I'll tell you what. Who sponsored it, Matthew? The union. You know why? They're going to tell him how to vote. That's council. They want you to make the decision that they want that benefits them. Oh no. Now I'm getting into daytime television. I'm sure that Dr. Field's got something good. You got sound advice to say every now and then. I'm not necessarily against going to a counselor or a psychologist or whatever. I think there's issues that I don't know how to deal with. But watch these guys. You need to anchor yourself with the Word of God. And if you will, these guys will say something and you'll go, that's not in the Bible. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to have any part of it. Okay? Katy Perry's going to sing at the Super Bowl today. Let me tell you what kind of wicked counselor she is, Jody. One of her biggest hits that came out a few years ago is called I Kissed a Girl. I Kissed a Girl. And I liked it. That's the lyrics. Who listens to Katy Perry? Does your grandma listen to Katy Perry, by the way? Who does? Girl's about Callie's age. And she's counseling these girls. If you fall in love with another girl, it's okay. You'll like it. That's wicked counseling. Garth Brooks, a lot of country music. Some of you are going, yeah, I don't listen to that Katy Perry stuff. I only listen to that old stuff like Willie Nelson, the drunk, and Conway Twitty, who was in everybody's bed. Wicked counselors. Jay-Z in the hip-hop movement. Brother Edward got up after the Ferguson deal, first hit, and he testified, and he'll say it again, it's the music that drives this stuff. Am I right? It's the music that is driving stuff in this nation. The devil figured out years ago, because he was built with tabrets and pipes, that he could influence an entire generation. Rock and roll came out in the late 50s, early 60s. That was the baby boomer generation. Those men and women have grown up and now they have entered into business and politics and everything else. And then the hippie crowd comes in the late 60s and early 70s. Those are now your CEOs and people like that. People like Steve Jobs, who started Apple. Steve Jobs was nothing but a new ager to the core. And he starts Apple Computer Company, and these people want to change the world. But they in their music and their lyrics are designed to counsel you. What about the song by Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper? Anybody remember that song? Too much cowbell in it for me. Some of you get that. You know what that song was about? Go ahead, kill yourself. It's no big deal. Don't fear the reaper. Wicked counselor. Wicked counselors. You folks out in Kenya, I love you. First time I went, we went to a bookstore, a Christian bookstore in Nairobi, looking for Bibles to give out. We were going to buy Bibles and give them out. We had to wade through Joyce Myers, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, and T.D. Jakes' books. They were at the front of this bookstore, and in the back, they had all the Bibles. We didn't find any Bibles that we could buy and give to people. They were all corrupted. Why do you think all these new Bibles are out now? Wicked counselors are in there getting people to make different decisions for a different Savior and a different Spirit. You see that? Okay? Joyce Meyer, Power Thoughts. I don't have time to get into it this morning. Pure witchcraft. It's pure witchcraft. Her doctrine says if you can think all the right positive thoughts, then you're going to have health, you're going to have wealth, you're going to have no problems whatsoever. And you won't have to pay your taxes like she don't. Come on, this is Jefferson County. She don't pay her taxes. Okay? You got to pay them. That's why they keep going up every year. If they tax her and leave us alone, we'd be fine. Amen? It's pure witchcraft. Jesus said, which one of you, just by thinking, can add a cubit of stature to your height? There ain't one of us that can do that. Not a one. They want you to believe you can. Wicked counselors. Okay? Now, in Matthew chapter, Numbers chapter 31, let me read some verses to you. Numbers 31, 16, listen to this. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. If there's anything that I've found out in 30 some odd years, or probably 40 years of church attendance, is that the devil loves to counsel and get inside of churches to change their mind and their decision-making processes to go after other gods. Deuteronomy 13, God said, if a prophet or a dreamer of dream rises among you, and the prophet and the sign or the wonder come to pass, and he says, let's go after other gods, God said, you kill that rascal. He's trying to influence you to change your God. Deuteronomy 18, he told him, he said, let me give you the sign of a real prophet. If he prophesies and it comes to pass, and he says, we worship this one God, and he says, that's who you follow. If he's wrong one time, all it takes is one time. If he's wrong one time, you don't have to be afraid of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. God was giving them a sign. But he said they would be coming in. Jesus taught us wolves would be coming in among the sheep. Paul said they were grievous wolves that were coming in. Peter was trying to teach us about how false teachers and how false prophets work inside of the house of God. And here is Balaam, who was hired and paid good money. And he counseled the people of Israel to commit trespass against the Lord. So you know what happened? Deuteronomy 32, 28. God now says of Israel, they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. I've used this verse in the last couple of weeks. But they are void of counsel, which means they will not listen to God. In 1 Chronicles 10, 13, Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord. You know, every time the word of the Lord is mentioned in your Bible, you think Bible. Think Bible. Saul transgressed against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, because he asked counsel of one that had a familiar spirit. He didn't go, he tried to go to God, and God had already rejected him. And so Saul goes to a witch at Endor. He goes to her and asks advice of a familiar spirit, which is a devil. And he based his decision on that. Ahab did the same thing. You remember how Ahab ended up having his blood washed out of the chariot that he was in? Because he brought in the 400 prophets who always told Ahab exactly what he wanted to hear. Boy, does that sound familiar today? Tell them what they want to hear. There's 400 of them. Obviously, they're right because they're bigger than everybody else. And so they tell Ahab, oh, see these iron horns here? With these iron horns, you're going to push the enemies away. And the other king said, isn't there anybody else here? Well, I got Micaiah. But I don't like him. Why don't come you don't like him? Because I don't like what he says about me. He always says something bad about me. Well, there is something bad about you. And Micaiah said, let me tell you what I saw. I saw God up in heaven on His throne. I saw spirits gathered around Him. And He said, who can I send? And one said this, and one said that. Another one said, Lord, I'll do it. They said, wherewith? How are you going to do it? He said, I'll go be a lying spirit in the mouth of all those 400 prophets. And God said, go do it. Spirits can counsel you, can't they? Let's just be honest. This guy's heavy on my heart. You don't know him. I don't think he's ever been here to visit. Maybe, but anyway, He sent me an email this morning, told me what he's going through. And I went, man, that sounds familiar. I've been there. I've had spirits telling me through the weaknesses in my emotions that I ought to leave my wife, leave my children, leave all my grandchildren, leave the church, leave everything, get in the car and just go. Go where? I don't know. Just go. I've had that happen more than once. And the first time it happened, I'm going, man, I didn't know what was going on. And then that still small voice came to me and quoted scripture, "Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." And I went, whoa, wait a minute. I know what this is. This is a conspiracy. Spiritual. Spirits were trying to counsel me, trying to tell me, do this. You've got them too. They're trying to tell you to go home, get drunk. They're trying to tell you to leave your wife or leave your husband. They're trying to tell you all kinds of things that you ought not be listening to, but they're there. You think the devil is in these rock stars that are singing all this garbage? You think they got devils? You ought to hear how they write songs. Lady Gaga admitted that the best way she writes songs, she gets really high on marijuana and she writes the lyrics to her songs. Where do you think that's coming from? Wicked counselors. He said in Psalms 81:11, get back here. What happened? Did I miss something? Something up on the screen. Oh, here it is. 1 Chronicles 10:13. Saul died. He asked counsel of a familiar spirit. Ezra chapter 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them. I'm going to tell you something. There are hirelings in churches all across this country, all over the world, I found out. There are hireling men, hireling women who are being paid well to stand in front of congregations just like this one and lie through their teeth. They're trying to get everybody, Chris, to accept sodomy. To accept sodomites and sodomite relationships. One denomination after another is falling and yielding to the sodomite agenda in this world. They're trying to get people to go ahead. It's okay to sin. It's okay to be a sinner. Don't have to worry about it. Don't do it. Don't worry about anything. God still loves you. And they're hiring counselors against God's people. The influences that we get from the news organizations. Who do you think pays their bills? Where do you think that you get to watch CNN for free, don't you? You don't put a quarter in the TV to watch it. Who do you think is paying their bills? They're hired counselors. They're trying to get people to make decisions. Union representatives, ministers, people who write Christian books are hired counselors to get God's people to change their mind on the fundamentals of the Scriptures and even this book itself. Where did the doctrine come from that says there are mistakes in all the Bibles? Where did that come from? It didn't come from the Bible. I've read it. That verse doesn't exist. It came from some other source. So now people, Christians all over the place are locked in to these wicked counselors doing what they say. Psalm 81:11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. You know, I'm going to pause right here. I almost said I'm going to stop right here. Some of you would have got up and left. Oh, he said he was done. It's time to go home. I want you to listen to me. Your lust and your flesh is a wicked counselor. You believe that? In fact, and I'm not going to do it justice. I'm serious. I think I'm going to call my cousin and say, you need to come out here and teach this. The way he presented the book of Esther and what floored me. He said, King Ahasuerus, I'm going to get this wrong. Haman was the flesh. Haman is your flesh. Haman's the wicked counselor that said all the Jews have to die. You know what's in part of that? Christ must be gotten rid of. Your flesh, that's what it tells you. Your flesh tells you, don't listen to God. Don't heed his warnings. Don't worry about it. Stay in bed on Sunday. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray. Keep going in sin. It's okay. Everybody's doing it. Now we live in a free society where there's no condemnation on you whatsoever. You can do whatever you want to, and it'll still be okay. That's your flesh telling you that. That's a spirit that is working through your flesh telling you, keep doing what you're doing. It's okay. And you let it talk you into it, didn't you? Of course you did. That's why you're in church here this morning. You're here in church because you know that what you were told was a lie, but you fell for it anyway. And now you need redemption. And God's got plenty of it. But at some point, you're going to have to stand up to Haman, stand up to your flesh and say, uh-uh. You may have gotten me yesterday. You may get me tomorrow. But you're not having today. Let's read that verse again. My people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Let me ask you a question. You think up here at the top of the hill is a bar and the American Legion Hall. Every Sunday, the bar is open. And every Sunday, the American Legion Hall is open. And you know what they're doing up there? Kids always ask us, Dad, what are they doing there? They drink. The Legion Hall, what do you think they do? They got a bar in there and they drink. I've been in there. They got a bar in there and they drink. You think those people up there, up the road up here that are in that place this morning, you think they got up early this morning, opened up the King James Bible and read about 3 or 4 chapters before they went? You think they did that? No. Why didn't they do that? They didn't want to hear it. You think I could go up there with my Bible, open the door of that tavern up here, the smokehouse, while the Super Bowl's playing, and start preaching this message? So look at that verse again. My people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They don't have anything to do with it. So you know what God did? I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. You listened to your flesh. You did what the flesh told you to do, and now you don't like the whirlwind that you're reaping because of what you sowed. You don't like it. That's just how it works. Don't listen to your flesh, to your emotions. Sometimes I have a real problem with that. Lisa can usually tell, other people around me can usually tell that I'm struggling with emotional states. And there's a weakness there that devils, wolves always go for the weak ones, don't they? Because they're easy. I don't have to run so far to chase it down. And I promise you, I think devils can smell weakness in somebody, figuratively speaking. I think they know when to come after you. Who in here nods your head agree with that? Amen. You weren't hit in the bulwarks and the strong powers of your life. You were nailed in your weaknesses. They came right to there, and then they started biting and tearing and chewing. They were trying to weaken you further. I've got mine, and you've got yours. And when I've got mine, I hear stuff that I'm just going, God, here they are again. God, get me out of this. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Because I know what it is. I know what it is, and I don't like it. So I have feelings and emotions that I don't trust. But sometimes it's hard not to listen to them. So I ask for God. God, I need help. Sometimes God will direct me to the Scriptures. Sometimes God will just get them out of the way. But I've had to learn to ask God for help because I couldn't have done it on my own. But anyway, he said, verse 13, Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. There it is right there. He said, I'd have done it for them. If they would have just called on me, boom, I would have got rid of them, all of them. But they didn't do it. Isaiah 29:15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us and who knoweth us? I'm not going to irritate you now. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. You listening to me? The devil knows where the whiskey bottle is. The devil knows where you hid the whiskey bottle. And so does God. Am I right, Roy? The devil knows, and so does God, the email chats you've had with some gal or some guy. Look at that verse again. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? You think you're getting away with it. I'm telling you, you're not. And your life is going to come crashing in one of these days because you were listening to the wrong counselor. Brother Reg Kelly preached a message called Wolves in Sheep's Clothing one time, and he outlined some things, and it just made a lot of sense. And he said, you know who most wolves are? You know how they work? He said, they're need meters. Need meters. You remember Absalom? You remember Absalom, son of David? Absalom wanted to steal daddy's throne. He was tired of waiting on dad to die. He knew he had brothers, and he thought, I want that throne. I want to sit where the king sits. You think about it. Think about the picture that God just drew in your mind. Absalom wants to sit where the king sits. So Absalom sat outside the gates, and as people walked by, he would say, oh, it's such a shame that my father David doesn't have time to take care of your needs. But you know, I'm here. How can I help you? Sounds like a politician running for office, doesn't it? They're need meters. They're wolves in sheep's clothing that went after those who are weak and who have, watch this now, who have been injured in the house of their friends. They'll go after weak church members. Oh, I know Brother Mike's a good guy, but you know, he's done some things wrong, and there are just some things he doesn't do that if I was your pastor, I would do them. You think I don't know what I'm talking about? Somebody going after your wife on the internet or whatever, and you opened up one day because you were weak and you said, my husband's a jerk. There was a wolf who smelled that and came over to you and said, oh, I would never treat you that way. It's a lie. Guys, it's the same way. My wife's mean. She makes me do things I want to do. She yells at me. She makes me mad. And there's a Jezebel. Remember, her mouth is smoother than oil. Oh, you're such a great guy. I would never do that to you. Liar! They're all like that! I got by with that one, didn't I? Yeah. The wolves are out there, people. And they'll counsel you all the way to hellfire. Is what they'll do. They'll get you, young people. You guys listen to me. All you young people here, all you watching, all you young people standing out there in Kenya, in Alamano Village, you listen to me. The devil may be done trying to convince your mom and dad, but he knows he's got years to work on you. And he will. I tried to train Matthew on the right way to use a firearm. Okay? And Sterling gave him a .30-06 deer. So he's a pretty good shot with it. Better than I am, I think. Okay? I'm not worried about him going into his public school and shooting kids up. Okay, I counseled him a certain way. God's going to counsel him. His wife's going to counsel him. Amen. But most of the kids that are young in this country are being counseled to go. I'll tell you where they're being counseled to. They're being counseled to go accept a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. How many of you believe that? That's what the Bible says. That's where they're headed. That's where this is headed. And the wicked counselors are everywhere. And they'll go after The rock and roll people, you don't mind me just preaching a couple more minutes. The rock and roll people had it, I don't know how to say this. At one time, those big Philco radios that were about this big, the only place you could have one is where? In the living room. Okay? That means mom and dad could control whether or not they wanted Johnny and Sally to listen
to Only the Shadow Knows.
When that comes on, time for you guys to go to bed. Johnny's going, oh, I want to hear. So then they invented a way to take a radio that's this big and make it this big. And Johnny got one for Christmas. So I was listening to his transistor radio. I used to have one of those. I thought that was cool. Man, it was blue. And it had a little place to put a little one earphone in. One. Remember that? And the guy could listen to AM radio. No way. Wait. And all of a sudden now, kids are hearing a new music in their room, and mom and dad don't know about it. Remember those days? Yeah. Yeah, that was the good old days, Pam, because now kids have a laptop and a tablet watching porn in their bedroom. Need meters, wolves, wicked counselors. They're going after the kids. They're going after the kids. Mom and daddy, be the counselors for those kids. I promise you. Hopefully at some day they'll wake up and say, Mom and Dad was right. Look at where I am. Look at how I turned out. If I'd have just listened to the Lord, if I'd have just listened to the pastor preach, if I'd have just done that, I'd be a lot better than I am today. There's a lot of adults that are saying that right now. If I'd have just listened when I was young, I'd be a lot better off. God give you a spirit of counsel. I'm going to cut it off here. I got a lot more to preach on this. I'm going to cut it off here. And I just want you to think about what's been said today. Whatever area of life you're in, there's always going to be some good counsel, and there's going to be some bad ones. And you already know what I'm going to say. You know how to identify the good counsel? It'll be a Bible verse. Out of a King James Bible, it'll be a great big Bible verse. And you'll look at it and go, that's what I'm supposed to do right there. That's how you know. See how easy God makes it? Okay? So I want us to bow our heads this morning.